Hometown Ghost Stories contains serious and often distressing events and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Hometown Ghost Stories Haunted Headlines, the fourth edition that we've done this. This time we have some brand new headlines that we're going to bring to you. And by brand new, I mean they're about 100, 115 years old. I'm Jesse Wilkins. I'm joined by Dave Wilkins.
What's going on? I'm glad to be here. I love these episodes, Haunted Headlines, some of my favorite. It's been so long since I talked about this.
Rob's unfrozen. All right, we delayed long enough. And Rob.
Dude, I don't know. I'm getting so mad.
We're going to make it through this. We're going to make it through this episode. I love that a lot of people are tuned in. A lot of folks are tuned in for the first time. They're like, this is what this is?
Yeah, this is...
What I think he was going to say is this is not how it usually goes.
All right. Well, let's start with the ghost child one. I think it's Child Sees Ghost is one of the articles.
The ghost child. There are those yet living in this very neighborhood who remember and relate with an awe which half a century has not abated. The story of Ruth Blay. And the ghost child. Ruth was a young woman of lively temperament and great personal beauty. While engaged as a teacher of a school in the little town of Southampton, New Hampshire, whose hills roughen the horizon with their snow outline within view of my window at this very moment, she was invited to spend the evening at the dwelling of one of her young associates. Several persons were present of both sexes. The sun, just setting, poured its soft, rich light in the apartment. Suddenly, in the midst of wanton gaiety, the young schoolmistress uttered a frightful shriek and was seen gazing with countenance of most intense horror at the open window and pointed with her rigid, outstretched arm at an object which drew at once the attention of her companions. In the strong light of sunset lay upon the sill of the open casement a dead infant visible to all for a single moment and vanished before the gazers could command words to express their amazement.
You're having trouble commanding words right now as well?
Well, they spelled it wrong. They spelled could C-N-M-M-A-N-D. Maybe they're using a typewriter and they're like, well, I'm not fixing that. Yeah. That's not how you spell that word. Anyways, could command words to express their amazement. The wretched Ruth was the first to break the silence. It is mine, mine, my child, she shrieked. He has come for me. She gradually became more tranquil, but no effort availed to draw from her the terrible secret which was evidently connected with the apparition. She was soon after arrested and brought to trial for the crime of child murder, found guilty and executed at Portsmouth. This took a turn, huh? And executed at Portsmouth, New Hampshire. I do not, of course, vouch for the truth of this story in all respects. Quote, I tell the story as 'twas told to me, J.G. Whittier
review. Yeah, so like the twas that was thrown in there at the end.
Twas. Yeah, crazy, crazy little story there where you have everybody seeing an infant ghost at the same time and it leading to a conviction of murder. Insanity.
Yeah, that is, I mean, obviously courts don't work like that nowadays. I think is a good thing that they don't. But it's just, it's wild to hear these stories from, and this is printed in a newspaper. Again, he kind of threw in that caveat at the end, like, I ain't saying this is true. I'm just telling you how I heard it, which is what we always do. Really long way of saying allegedly.
Allegedly. Yes. Absolutely. So I thought that was an interesting one from New Hampshire. I forget the date on it because I don't have the folder in front of me. So I hopefully Jesse read out the year that was presented as well.
1843 was the year.
Old.
Which is something old, old, old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're getting into some very, I mean, that might be the oldest one we cover today, but let's dive into the next one.
Jesse, the way they used to print the newspapers back then is kind of funny. They had that little misspelling with the N instead of the O, which they used to put each little individual letter in the press, and then they print out the newspapers en masse. So they get that one little letter wrong, they're definitely not going back to fix that after.
Coach, yeah, a little eraser. See it all the time, too.
Yep.
See it all the time. Jesse, if you want to pull up the next article, I should be able to read it. You can, you know, dealer's choice, pick which one you want.
Let's go with decapitated wrong corpse. Okay.
Can we guess what this is going to be about? Decapitated wrong corpse. You decapitated the wrong corpse. You're fired.
Why don't you give us the year and the location as well, and then I'll read it.
Looks like it is 1914 in Smith County, Mississippi.
Overzealous attorneys under arrest and cannot get rid of dead man's head. Jackson, Mississippi, June 12th.
I don't have any idea where this is going.
Because they opened the wrong grave and got the head from the wrong corpse to obtain evidence in a damaged snit.
Suit.
Sorry, I'm reading very small letters here. Two lawyers and a doctor were arrested here today. The head they secured is still in their possession. Right? Having some guards about the cemetery to prevent the reopening of the grave. So they put some guards around so that nobody could open the grave back to put the head back in there. The gruesome
imbroglic.
Can you see it?
I can't really tell. Yeah.
Resulted from the death of Joseph Hughes, killed in a mill accident, and a suit for damage for his widow. The lawyer deemed the skull of the dead man necessary to prove he died from a fracture of the skull. They secured permission.
Did they not have people who did like autopsies at this time? Someone get a lawyer. We got to figure out how this guy died.
We got to bring his skull to trial. they secured permission of the widow to get the head. At the graveyard, relatives of Hughes pointed out a grave. A body was disinterred and the head removed. It was later discovered the head was that of Hughes's father, a brother of the dead man, had the lawyers and doctors arrested and has put guards about the cemetery to prevent the restoration of the head.
That's so crazy.
So I don't blame the lawyers here. They shouldn't be arrested for this. The family pointed out the wrong grave.
And in fairness, it would have the same last name.
Right. Could even have the same first name if it's like a John Hughes Jr. But the family should know.
There has to be repercussions. If you dig up the wrong grave, or if you're going to be digging up a grave, you got to make sure 100% that you got the right one. But you can't just go desecrating graves.
You can't just grab like a cousin, distant relative, and be like, hey, point me to the right one and then run with it. I mean, how long had the dead been dead yet? This is crazy.
Yeah, this is insanity. And then they just have the head and the family's like, you can't put the head back. Why won't the family let them put the head back? Wouldn't you want the head to go back to the grave?
They probably wanted to do it themselves. Like, just give it to us. We'll take care of it. The lawyers wanted to keep that head. I don't know. There's a lot of questions. This article should have been longer, I would say.
Yeah, I want more details. What I will say is that ever since we started doing this show, we started researching all these old cases of ghosts and such, there are so many cases of just desecrating graves and corpses. And why was there so much of this? It was so widespread for thousands of years. We were just hacking up bodies, just all willy-nilly. Why? Why is it so widespread? I never would have guessed.
Just jumping in there, without abandon, just going to the graveyard and be like, oh, just dig this one up. It's the right last name.
Well, if you get like situations like this, then you get situations like in the UK in the 800, 900s, they're just cutting up bodies of priests and just for good luck and sending them all over the place.
Yeah.
Just a lot of that. Too much.
Yeah. Yo, you got any of that priest toe for sale? I need a priest toe. Put on my necklace.
Yeah, McLovester says witchcraft. Witchcraft is one. Science is another one. They're always cutting up bodies, but they used to rob graves so that they could study it for medical purposes. There's so many different ridiculous reasons to dig up corpses and cut them to pieces.
too many. If you went to a graveyard now and like try to exhume everybody, how many do you think would actually be missing from a standard graveyard that's been around since like the 1700s?
That's a good point.
Yeah, it probably depends on where you dig. I would assume
in the ground. The ground probably.
Conservatively, I'd assume none would be missing. Right. that'd be my safe bet.
You'd be betting $1,000 on digging up corpses and getting arrested.
That would be my
price. Real question is hard.
My price is right, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, let's hop to the next one. This one is called Guardman Killed by Corpse in Geneva.
Yeah, what was the year on this one?
Let me see if I can find the year real quick. 1914. Killed by a corpse was the fate of a, what's that word? Gendarme. In a forest near the village. It said it was a guardman, right? Okay. Let's start again. Geneva, killed by a corpse was the fate of a guardman in a forest near the village of Wildegg. Coming upon the body of a man who had committed suicide, the guard found that the right hand still tightly clasped a revolver. When he attempted release the dead... Oh, no, I know where this is going. When he attempted to release the dead man's finger from the trigger, the weapon was discharged and the bullet pierced his chest. He died in the hospital a few hours later.
Oh, what a loser.
How do you get shot and killed by a guy who was already dead?
Oh, that's so bad. But
it's very embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. Hey, how'd you get here at the gates of heaven? A dead guy killed me.
Imagine the dead guy's surprise when he gets to heaven. He's like, well, let me in. He's like, no, you murdered a guy. He's like, when? He's like, 5 minutes ago.
It's like, I've been dead for 10 minutes.
Yeah. How the hell did that happen?
Oh, it's impressive. Man, it's crazy. Really.
I love it.
The most dangerous man alive and dead. You know, have to throw that little asterisk on there. Yeah, that's a wild one. Not the way I want to go.
That's not the way to go.
That's not
because your pride's gone too, right? Like your pride is just like,
but you're dead. Who cares?
Yeah, but like as you're dying.
Like, yeah, God, I wish I was still proud.
Because if you got shot anywhere besides the head, you were probably alive for a few seconds just going like, no fucking way. Yeah,
I'm so embarrassed. This is so embarrassing.
Barbara says, why was it loaded? Fair question.
Well, he committed suicide, so he probably shot himself. It was a revolver, so when you shoot the revolver, it's going to chamber the next round.
Steph brings up a point. How many other people killed somebody after they died? I mean, shy of vampires? None, right? Zombies?
It's actually a good segue, Dave. We should talk about the vampire cats next.
All right. Well, we have part one.
Yeah.
The picture is great. Oh, my goodness.
for those that are listening, there is a cat that is attacking a man while he's sleeping, and he is quite surprised, according to this artist's illustrations.
He is uncomfortable with this situation. Man is awakened by vampire cat. Delaware man finds supposed mythical feline sucking his breath. This is in Wilmington, Delaware. Let's see what the year was. The year was 1917, if I didn't mention that already. Vampire cat that suck the breath from humans are no myth to Lacey B. Stuvertent, number 729 Madison Street. He had a narrow escape from one just before daylight while asleep in a second-story room with the windows open. Apparently, the cat gained his room by climbing up awning poles. Sturtevant was aroused just before daylight, feeling strangely uncomfortable. Well, that's because he was aroused. Yeah. But wide awake.
Also happens when you're aroused.
Sturtevant says, with the strangest feeling I've ever experienced in my life. Had its mouth right up to mine.
Let's see if we get wasn't that two. an old superstition that people believe that the cats would steal the breath from your infant at night while they slept.
Well, we're going to get into it a little bit more.
It seemed as if something was drawing the very life out of me through my throat. I tried to draw a long breath and couldn't. There appeared to be something over my mouth and nostrils. Besides, I felt strangely weak, so weak that I remained quite still for a space, just barely breathing and wondering what I was going to do. Then I pulled myself together for an effort to find out what was wrong and looked down at my chest, and I saw there was a great Maltese cat. There was just enough light in the room for me to distinguish it. And the thing had its mouth right up against mine. This guy's making out with a cat. Sturtevant admitted that Sturtevant admits that he was badly frightened, and exerting what little strength the cat had left in him, he grabbed it by the back of the neck and threw it through the open window. It is now at large somewhere in the city.
Yeah.
Or it's dead on your sidewalk. I don't know.
On the sidewalk.
Studevant said that he then dropped back upon the bed to recover his strength and nerve. Quote, "But I don't feel right yet, believe me," he declared. "Nor do I want such a thing to happen again." Like, this guy threw a cat out the window and then reported it to the news.
Yeah.
And they wrote a story about it.
Tried to justify it.
Yeah.
He tried to justify throwing the cat out the window to what Dave said. Like, they had that whole thing where they thought that cats could steal their breath. But this dude woke up, left his window open, a cat's on him, and he just threw it out the window. And he's like, "I just don't want people to know how bad of a person I am. So I'm going to report it to the news that he was trying to steal my soul."
Papa Squash says he didn't want to admit that he took home Sheila from the bar, so he made up a vampire cat story.
Cats will do this. Cat owners know. Like, when you have a cat and you're asleep and the cat does not want you to be asleep, they'll just come right up to you and just like kind of nudge your nose with their nose. It's obnoxious. Some cats do it. Some cats don't. I've had cats do this before. I'm like, get off of me. But this is just normal cat behavior. So this was a stray cat that got in through his window, climbed up the awning. I see nothing in this story that tells me it's a vampire. And I see a story about a man who threw a cat out of a window. And this doesn't seem like...
He's blaming the cat for being weak. He's like, "Oh, I feel so weak." And he's like, "It's got to be because of that cat, not because I'm just a weak man."
Yeah, not because I've been avoiding the gym for years.
Also, so, I know cats. That cat most likely landed on its feet after being thrown out the window.
But it's at large in the city somewhere.
It's at large. Be on the lookout for the Maltese cat coming to suck your breath out of your life, out of your body.
That story made me uncomfortable on every level. All of them.
That's what they're supposed to do. That's what we're doing with haunted headlines here.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Shall we hop into the next one?
Yes.
This one is from 1899 in Texas, part one of this article. And we will hop into it now. It says, "Returned after death." One of the most remarkable occurrences yet reported is that which came under the observation of Reverend B.F. Wilson, pastor of the Christian Church of this city. The case was that of a young lady whom the minister had known since childhood, whom he had baptized, and for whom, about a year ago, he had said the marriage ceremony. A few days ago, the lady died, leaving an infant. Before her death, however, which occurred at Sherman, Texas, she requested that Brother Wilson should preach her funeral sermon. She had been dead supposedly about an hour, and preparations were all made for dressing her for the grave, when suddenly she opened her eyes and began to talk. Plot twist.
Yikes.
Quote, "I have been to heaven," she said. "And while I beheld things of the most transcendent the eye ever rested upon, I saw my father and mother and my husband's grandfather." This says "the" twice, so I'm going to say it. The latter came to me and said,
"Then the latter," quote, is what they were going for there.
Oh, maybe. Probably, yeah. There is no end there. "Then the latter came to me and said, quote, 'You need to tell me who you are.
You are
my grandson's wife.'" Sounds like they knew exactly who they were.
No, it said, "You need not to tell me who you are."
Oh, it says "you need not." Okay. "You need to tell me who you are, Dave Wilkins." calling her husband's name. "Heretofore." Is that a just word?
We'll just throw all these words together.
It's all one word. Heretofore,
and was, is, was.
Continued she, quote, I have been afraid to die, but now I'm ready to go. My married life was the happiest year of my existence, and I have only come back for my baby, end quote. She then took her own hand and, drawing her eyelids down, passed gently away. In about an hour, her baby died, and both were buried in the same coffin. Mr. Wilson, as she requested, preached the funeral sermon. These are actual facts as told by the minister by Piano Courier. So
isn't this insane? Like, it takes a really dark twist, but this is like one of the scariest newspaper articles we've had just in terms of what happens where they think she's dead. She comes back to life and says that she's taking her baby. Then she dies and the baby dies an hour later and there's no record. They're not mentioning that the baby was sick or anything, just that the baby died. And terrifying.
Yeah, this is basically the second story of kind of dead person killing someone all of a sudden.
True. True. If you can attribute, I mean, it could have been a situation where because you do hear about these near death experiences all the time where somebody isn't quite dead, but they believe that they died, or whether they actually did die and they see something and then they come back and they have this revelation or whatever. And then it could have just been a coincidence where the baby also died. I mean, that is a bizarre coincidence.
Yeah, that was a lot. I don't really know what to say about that. I mean, she came back and said she was basically in heaven, saw a bunch of people. They knew exactly who she was. And she's just like, yeah, my life is so happy. And then she's like, but I just came back for my baby. What a creepy thing to say. And then what an unbelievable occurrence for that child to then die. That's nuts.
It is.
Yeah, I think the only story that's ever been as like disturbing and terrifying is that one, is the one of the child that rised from the dead.
Yeah, this one reminded me of that one for sure.
So those are overtones for sure.
So. Oh, it's almost the same story, just with different people, right?
Right. Good point. Because the grandmother died in the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So it is almost the same. I wonder how many times we could find occurrences of that where a family member returning from the dead and then just like almost taking a family member with them.
Yeah.
Like a movie on our hands.
The one where the child sits up in the coffin almost feels like it makes more sense, because if you, the old woman who's the grandmother who saw that probably had a heart attack because she was horrified. Right. You can almost explain that one away. This one, there has to be a pretty big coincidence for all those things to match up.
Agreed. Yeah. It's just such a weird story. Very creepy. Very creepy. It's just the whole, like, I came back for my baby. Like, what a selfish move too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We don't know how these things work. Maybe it could have been like she knew the baby was going to die. And I don't know. It's such a weird, weird situation. Okay. We had an illustration of a cat sitting on this guy's chest that he then punted out the window. Now we get an illustration of a terrifying ghost. frightened by ghost, child jumps from window. Are we sure it just wasn't the guy that's chucking everyone out the window? we'll find out. This one is in Chicago. The year was 1918. So let's check it out. So frightened by ghost, child jumps from window, Chicago. Little Rose Marciano, aged 11, lies moaning and screaming in a hospital from injuries received by a nasty plunge from an upper window of her home, as well as from fright that she received that she was startled by a ghost, as she claims to have seen the ghost alone while in the apartment occupied by her parents. When a window rattled somewhere in the apartment, she fled nervously into the parlor, which faced the street, and through the windows of which a light streamed from the electric lamp and sent its rays straight back. So the girl had a view of the rooms in the rear of the apartment. She was now more afraid, as strange shadows were upon the walls. Little Rose is a strong believer in ghosts, and now imagined that she saw several spooky visitors flitting about the rooms. Then something occurred that was even more terrifying than she could even stand. Persons in the street suddenly heard a wild, childish scream of terror. Glancing upwards, that's what Rob sounds like sometimes. Just a wild, childish scream of terror.
for the
when we see a ghost.
For the audio listeners, if you wanted to know what the ghost looks like, the illustration, Captain McSlug says, "Child frightened by ghost of Steven Tyler."
Yeah, this is a terrifying one. Absolutely terrifying stuff. Glancing upward, they saw the figure of the girl perched momentarily on the windowsill. She then leapt wildly forward and fell onto the sidewalk. A doctor found the girl was injured internally and rushed her off to the nearest hospital. The nurses patted her forehead and spoke soothingly to her, but the child still shivered with fright. I don't get why she's still screaming.
We need to calm down.
We both patted her forehead. Please shut up, child. The nurses patted her forehead and spoke soothingly to her, but the child shivered with fright and told of a great white form with outstretched arms that had loomed up in the doorway in the parlor of her home as she sat crouched near the front window. So her claim is that a ghost scared her so badly that she leapt out of the window. So the way that they described it in the beginning made it sound a little bit more like she may have been fooled by shadows and she was a big believer in ghosts already. And, but something had to scare her bad enough where she jumped out of the window.
I wonder if she had older siblings that pretended to be a ghost and scared her. And when she jumped out the window, they were like, "Oh shit, don't tell mom."
Could have been that.
It was a real ghost.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, and I was like, was she seeing the objects? And then I'm just like, dude, I think she saw something, right? Like, I just want to believe that she saw something, whether it was ghostly or whether she had schizophrenia or something to that effect that would be undiagnosed at that point in time, mm-hmm. where but she's so young. I just personally feel like she had to see something because it's... A shadow is not going to make you jump out the window, but a ghost, I would jump out the window over a ghost approaching me.
Yeah. All right, Rob, you are only handling the second floors of haunted houses from now on.
And send Rob to the attic every single episode.
Make sure the window's open.
I was just about to say, hey guys, all right, so you're going to let us in. That's fine. Did you go ahead and open all the windows beforehand? Thank you. Rob will be taking the second floor again.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes.
Well, we have quite the experience with investigated haunted attics. So, I mean, I guess I'll do it, but I am ready to jump out.
We've done our fair share.
That we have.
All right. I believe we have one more. Shall we hop into it?
I have a bonus one here too. So it seems like we have time. I'll read that one as well.
Sounds good. This one's called A Grave Deception.
This was a fun one to end on. Oh, and you didn't give the, you got to give us the year.
I know. I always do this backwards. 1877 in Oregon. So this one is a grave deception. It was a melancholy funeral, despite the circumstances, that of Michael O'Loughlin at French's Prairie, Oregon. The deceased had quarreled with his wife, had been divorced, and in his dying moments, it was stated, had questioned that the coffin had requested. Requested, missed the R either. It was stated, had requested that the coffin not be opened as he didn't want his wife to take a last look at him. The request was complied with and the funeral services were held in a church. A few days after the funeral, the wife asked Mr. Gregory to wind up the business of the deceased. Mr. Gregory began to do so, but soon rumors reached him that O'Loughlin was alive. The grave was opened. The coffin lid was taken off, and there in the bottom of the coffin lay a dead sheep. It is thought that O'Loughlin was the author of the heartless deception.
So
we didn't expect this.
So what do we think happened here?
He faked his death to get away from his awful wife.
Oh my God, I love it. And that was why he requested that the coffin not be opened. Right. I love
his,
it.
His new girlfriend must have been pissed.
The sheep, though. I love that he chose a sheep.
Well, you got to put something in there, right?
For sure. I hope that the sheep was dead. He just found a dead sheep.
Maybe that's why they opened it. It's just, meh. yes. Ulysses with the joke of the day says it was deception.
Deception.
That's a bad plan.
The real death note.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, but isn't that like how they measured weight back in too? They should have lifted up the coffin. Like, this feels like he weighs one sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, really pulled the wool over their eyes there.
Oh, nice.
Very good, guys. Very good. Wow, yeah, I did not expect that to be the second half of that story. That was a big twist. I had no idea where that was going.
I love the swindles from like the 1800s where like the craziest thing they could do is throw a fake their death and throw a sheep in the coffin.
Oh, I love it.
I almost got away with it if it wasn't for those meddling sheeps. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Oh my God.
All right. I got a bonus story here if we want to read this.
Absolutely.
So we're not going to pull up a picture. There's no picture to go with it, but this is, I'm in the Bronx this week working. So I start looking at.
Robert, you're completely frozen. We left off where you said I'm in the Bronx this week, looking in strangers' windows.
Yes. Looking in strangers' windows, seeing if they have ghost stories opened up. That's how I do all my research. Yeah. So
see if they happen to have any newspapers from the 1800s lying around.
So there, this article was actually written, it's about 1888, but it was written in 2014 from Blake Bell. He found an article from the Yonkers. God, I just lost the newspaper. It's the Yonkers Times or something like that. And it has the full article in there as well, but we're just going to jump into it. The ghost of City Island terrified the people of Pelham early in 1888. Pelhamites knew the apparition as, Jesse, do you want to try to guess what they were calling this ghost?
No.
The answer is his spook ship.
That would have been my first guess. I'm upset that we didn't try. Like, no, his lordship, but a ghost?
Yes.
That's amazing.
No description of his spook ship yet has been discovered. By early February 1888, however, the apparition that appeared throughout City Island was frightening the inhabitants a good deal, according to one account published at the time. The ghost of City Island, it seems, is one of the many specters and phantoms that are said to have terrified the town of Pelham for the last several centuries. City Island's fear of his spook ship in early 1888 was quite fascinating. In February of that year, residents of the town of Pelham who lived on City Island were fed up with the ghost of City Island. Call the apparition his spook ship or call it trickery, Pelhamites no longer cared. They were fed up. All called for the death of his spook ship. These guys were ready to kill a ghost.
They were ready to get rid of him.
They were ready. A brief article in a Yonkers news. Your Pelham residents believe the ghost of City Island better be spectral. If not, the specter soon would be pushing up daisies.
You keep cutting out there. Do they just keep threatening to kill this ghost? Like, yeah, the spook ship's going to be dead. Otherwise, the spook ship's going to be pushing up daisies. Like, all right, tough guys. All right, tough guys who are writing the article. Let's calm down.
It's the most Bronx thing ever, too, right?
Yeah.
Like they're going to, like a Bronx, like they're just going to kill this ghost. Like, we're sick of this ghost.
There's no haunt in here.
We're going to put out a hit on this ghost. Get the five families together. So the actual article from 1888 is really brief, and it just says, Little City Island comes to the front again with a ghost story. His spook ship has been seen many times recently, frightening the inhabitants a good deal. They now say that if he shows himself again, they will send a load of buckshot into or through him, as the case may be. The incredulous think it is some fellow out on a lark trying to see how much he can frighten people. It may turn out costly for him.
We've got a lot of these in like a lot of these older articles where it just turns out that there was just somebody in the woods just being a great wag or whatever, you know, like, like just doing his best to scare people. It's always like the corniest is like, he put a sheet over his head and was saying, thick, thack, thack, thick, and moving through the bushes. And it's like, it's just the, like, how gullible was everyone? Like, if I see someone walking around with a sheet over their head, I'm like, that's a lazy Halloween costume, but awesome. You know, it's, low effort at the times. Not a lot going on.
Well, in this situation, the person who's being the great wag in the woods with the sheet on him could have gotten shot with buckshot. So
it's true.
Best behave.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So maybe we'll have to see if there was any follow-up to that story. But from the historian, he said he couldn't find any murders of ghosts. So they never caught his spook ship. Maybe he was a real ghost.
I just love like the royal name that you got. And,
Mr. Spookship.
Mr. Spookship. Love that. If you guys enjoy these, we're going to be dropping another side content, one of current haunted headlines. We call that the paranormal update. That'll be coming out in a couple weeks, so we'll lock that. And if you find any articles that are old and that you find interesting and you think that we should cover on the show, send them our way. There is actually quite a few of them. There's a lot of these ghost stories that do make the news, and they still make them today. So for historical ones, we cover them in haunted headlines. For more recent ones, we cover those in paranormal updates, and we will bring you guys some more. But hey, we got vampire cats, we got multiple dead people coming back and killing live people. Got some borderline zombie attacks going on here. So
what a we got dead sheep.
Dead sheep.
The dead sheep story is my favorite. That man faked his death and used a sheep. Poor sheep. I hope he just found a dead sheep and didn't kill it just to fake his death, you know.
I also hope that. Although the idea of them hearing the baaing coming from the coffin is pretty hilarious.
That's the other thing too. It could have been a live sheep the whole time. Yep.
It's just, and they're just like, why is O'Houlihan making these noises still?
Yeah, they got the other ones that came up and just dug up the wrong guy and cut off his head. I'm just going to throw it out there again. Like the level of decomposition should have told them right away whether or not they had the right guy, you know? But I don't really know.
You would think so, but I also blame the family. Like, you just can't point out the wrong grave and then get mad.
In fairness, so on modern graves, you have first name, last name, you know, dates of birth and death, all that kind of stuff. A whole lot of information on these modern graves. Some of them not so much, but for the most part, a lot of the older graves, they just had the last name on them. And we've seen a lot of them. They can go either way, but that had to have been just a grave that just had a last name. They're like, oh yeah, that's got to be it. But my Lord, double check. Like, they had to be keeping records of this stuff. You know, you have plots, like burial plots, and you know who's where. So you might want to do your homework before you go cutting off a head. That's what we always say.
That's what we always say. It's so weird that we always say it, and now here it is.
That's our show motto, actually.
It is, yep. Absolutely.
All right, do we want to get in some five-star reviews?
Let's hop into them.
All right, so this first one is from somebody named hashtag Rob Sucks.
Getting better.
And the title of this one is hashtag Team Dave, hashtag Rob Sucks, hashtag Jesse questionable face emoji. So
all right,
you're getting a little bit of shade thrown there as well, Jesse.
Maybe.
I've been listening to Hometown Ghost Stories for about a year now, and these three gentlemen have made me a believer in the paranormal more than I already was. My wife and I love the content and history about all the locations y'all do. I've experienced a lot of ghost paranormal encounters myself, and the more I listen to them, the more it makes me want to get out of my comfort zone and tell my stories as well. Great job, y'all. And thanks for the laughs. Hashtag Team Dave.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's a good one.
But that brings up the point that if you are looking to share your ghost stories when you are comfortable sharing them, shoot us an email over at hometownghoststories@gmail.com, or you can jump in Discord and leave them in the ghost story channel. But if you want them to be private, we also will share them as private as well when we do listener stories.
And definitely add the hashtag Team Rob or Team Dave, if whether you want to be on the massive empire of Team Dave or, you know, the tiny little rebellion of Team Rob.
the only thing tiny here is you in person and on stream.
And Rob's rebellion. Rob's rebellion is few but powerful.
All right, we have one more here. It's from Kiki Go Blue, titled My Favorite Podcast Ever. I found my way to this podcast and it quickly became my favorite one. I eagerly await new episodes. I love the funny banter between the hosts and the interactions that listeners have with them. I find the mixture of paranormal and history to be perfect. My only complaint is that I have to wait too long to get a new episode. Keep up the good work. We're trying. We
are.
two episodes every week.
If we were to try to put out more content than we're already putting out, we would age so rapidly that we would be dead by episode 200. So we're working on it though.
We would. I mean, my beard in the last year, the gray hair that has sprung up in the last 12 months has been insanity. So
It's either the show or your unbelievable old age. Who knows? Let's thank our patrons real quick. Do you have another one or is that it?
No, that's it. I just was going to say I'm not the oldest one on this show. So,
Yes. Sure. All right. Hopping into our patrons. Let's start with our VIPs. And we're going to kick it off with Dave D, Kate and Steve M, Blazora, Glitter Tease, Cammy from Washington, Kelly C, Dakota G, Nick, Donnie N, Inspires Gaming, Allison V, Robert H, Anna C, J9, Mallory K, Demon King, Mom and Pops W, Lisa J, and Dave Wilkins is undefeated in Street Beefs fights.
Hell yeah.
We finally got a silly name in the VIPs. Usually there's a serious bunch of absolute legends over there in the VIPs. Let's go into the Warren's words with Rachel B. Too many Rachel B's. Her lady spookship of Spookshire. That is very fancy. We like that. Nefarious Chad Poles, Wahini Pirate, Rob Hating, Willy Nilly, Corpse Defiler. Julie Gooley, Eugene M, Arcade Hunter, Siobhan Not Sharon, Kath Q, Liz Young, DC, Chris Connolly, LBPS founder, next HTGS guest, the other Rachel B, Sarah Cook, Ambie Rose, Janice G, Lily, Rachel B, Rob's left-handed dog hands with the man blood on them. Sydney is no longer the favorite fan man. Papa Squatch, Steph A putting vampire sucking cats out windows. Punting, I'm sorry. Steph A punting vampire sucking cats out windows.
Not just gently placing them out.
Yeah, yeah. You got to punt those things.
Yeah.
You
gotta,
which is actually worse because it's more calculated, right? If you're just like, and just slowly drop the cat.
Yeah, sometimes when you see a cat go absolutely yeeting out of a window, you're like, wow, somebody might have accidentally punted them out the window. That must have been an accident, is what people say when they see that. Excuse me. Next up, we have Huka Naka Laka, Haka Naka Hika Laka, Huka Naka Faka. And then loving it. So thank you guys for being part of the Warren's Wards. And let's finish it off with the Ghost Pirate Mafia. Kicking it off with... Hey, I hate when I do this. Let me make sure my phone's not near me. Everyone get your phone away from you. Hey, Siri, set a reminder on Rob's calendar that he is my favorite and Dave is not.
Perfect. I hope it did.
It's still listening. We have Bree, not Brianna, Chris, Miss Macabre, the headless man who allegedly died of starvation. Michelle, Naroku, Cold Warrior, Joey B. I should stop changing my username. My other subscriptions are getting getting freaked out. D from H Town, Meta. How do I do it, Dave? You do it. Go.
Us.
Meta Uos. Nailed it. They will now accept
me. You sound like one of those tubes that you turn upside down and just goes. Yeah.
We have Sarah B, Dominica, Queen Chan's Revenge, Angel Prefers, Rob, then Jesse this time.
Ooh.
I'm just going to read that differently if that's okay with you. Angel Prefers Jesse then Rob this time. Monster Mom 04, Shannon K, Allie Dark Snark. Hi, I'm. Internet Windows has encountered an unexpected error and will now shut down. Megan S, Morgan S, no. The haunted microwave full of frogs. Sharon V, Wayne C, Pad, Kid, Poured, Curd, Pulled, Cod. Couldn't get me, Nancy. You almost did. Crystal Quinn, Aaron A, Mina H, Colby, the unnamed serial killer, still at large. I will say, Nancy, I cheat on reading those names. Because whenever yours comes up, my brain shuts off and I just have to read it unbelievably slowly. And by my brain doing that for me, it ends up me reading it correctly. Rob Coakley's allegedly poorly ketchup jizz bukkake French fry party. Listener discretion is advised. Alicia E. Thick Boy Freddy allegedly poorly yeeting a vampire cat into the unknown general public who wondered why I was so aroused. Then we have yeeted vampire cat haunting Rob's computer. I feel like you both told a story there. You shall refer to me as his spookship, or I shall send a vampire cat to suck out your breath. Sam from Nepal, Joe R., Paul from St. Louis, Al Capone. I should be in every episode, and you are Al Capone. Huggy Bear, Yes, Rob, you told the gas station V6 story, Solar Flare, Mariah M, Kira Lee J, Anthony.gov to make it effing official. Biatch T, Cody G, Brandon W, and his hoop ship.
His hoop ship. It's good.
That was beautiful. Thank you guys for sticking with us. That was a bumpy ride in the beginning, but we smoothed it out, didn't we? And we'll be back next week with a numbered episode. We're going back to Montana next week, which should be an exciting one. And next horror movie reviews you should be watching is Final Destination.
Final Destination will drop on Friday, and I think after that, I don't think we've decided.
Cool, sounds good. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll be back next time. Appreciate it.